Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
What's the most resilient parasite?
Primetime with Isaac Insu.
Can build cities. Can transform the world. And rewrite all the rules.
That's what I'll be doing every single night.
Which is why...
No!
I have to steal it.
What are you talking about, Willis?
This is Primetime with Isaac Insu.
It's going to work. It's passable, okay? This isn't terrible.
The best in local, regional, and national sports.
With no hidden agenda.
Primetime with Isaac and Sue on 1080 The Fan.
Welcome to Hour 2 of a show called Primetime. I'm Luke Anderson.
Yes, you are.
I'm not normally on this show.
No.
So if this is your first week in Portland and you're like, hey, let me give this 1080 The Fan a try, I'm not the normal guy here.
No, you're not.
This is a
different...
You're
just a random voice.
If I'm random.
Well, you know, I mean,
I do the Saturday show on this station.
If somebody is like
very, very okay.
Somebody's tuning in to the sports station in Portland of record, 1080 The Fan, they would hear you talk. They'd be like, oh, there's a guy. Like, I just don't think that you're on enough that people are like, oh, yeah, there's what's his nuts. You know what I mean?
There's a couple people that do
You're
that.
Still random, dude.
Still pretty random.
Yeah.
Well, there you go.
I'm sorry.
It's okay. You invited,
are you hurt by that?
No, you invited me on, so...
I like having you in here.
I mean something to you.
I think you do a good job.
I appreciate that.
I enjoy it. But still, we need, you know...
But I'm still super random.
They need to start promoting you more.
Yeah, what's the deal with that?
I don't know. You should get you on
boss.
A billboard.
Just waving. Can I get one with the big motorized arm that's waving from the freeway?
Hey, by the way, the Mariners are beating the Royals 4-0 in the first inning. Vogelbach hit a grand salami.
I like it. Except for I'm not a Mariners fan anymore. Just 2 days ago, I relinquished my fandom with the permission of John Sakanik, and I am now officially a Twins fan.
Oh, I bet you are.
Well, I'm a parent of twins. I've 2.5-year-old twin daughters. I figure they'll be Twins
That's
fans.
That's an Officer Potter type move right there. But the Royals are
I
going
also
for
feel like
sweep.
You're trading disappointment for eventual disappointment.
That's exactly what I was going to say next, too. It's by the time they're old enough to know what's going on in baseball, the Twins will be terrible again.
I tell you what.
And they'll be like, why'd you switch? I'm like, well, they were having a pretty good start to the season in 2019, and then they tanked in the second half, and they've never been good since, but for a minute.
Dude, the Mariners are horrible. I mean horrible.
Homer Bailey. And believe me, they're still better than the Mariners, guys.
Yes, yeah, exactly.
Homer Bailey pitched last night. And for the Royals, he sucks. They made him look like Cy Young. It's unbelievable how bad the Mariners are.
Yeah. Well, the nice thing is they're super inconsistent. They're really bad. Their defense is terrible.
Even when they win games, they lose because their bullpen will blow it.
Exactly. Well, they had so at one point during the season when they had that really hot start, they were they're fun to kind of keep up with. But I think it was the end of May or maybe mid-May I looked at it. They had their starting pitching had the fewest walks of any starting pitching unit in baseball. And their bullpen had the most walks of anybody. They're not a complete roster by any stretch of the imagination.
All right. So a lot of people chiming in on the youth sports melee in Lakewood, Colorado. I still can't find the story of them arresting that guy. So I'm not sure that that's true. But somebody, one of our roving reporters on the street said that they did find this guy. But
let's just hope.
There's a lot of guys throwing, and women throwing punches in this fight. And the worst part about this video, if you haven't seen it, is the little kids, 7 years old, are all running away, like to the outfield.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I mean, it's kind of heartbreaking. But I was asking, what percentage of adults would allow a bad call to escalate into a fist fight at a youth sporting event, because I'm afraid that number is higher than I think or that I want to believe. And so here are a couple of people's thoughts. I mean, you get the random 2%, 18%, 30%, 50%, probably a little high.
Yeah,
don't you think?
It seems a little bit.
But, somebody says, I can't imagine it being more than 10%, but even that seems high. I think we just live in a time where we always see it. True, but if you and your kids are a little young yet, and my kids now through it and on into college, but I went through, you know, the various sports. He played football, sat through some basketball games and a lot of baseball games because baseball was his main sport. And so I would say, and I don't know how many people agree with this, but it felt to me like when you're at a youth sporting event, particularly as you start to get into high school, even though everybody seemed to have the right attitude because, well, it's just youth sports.
Yeah.
There was always an underlying edge, I felt, to a lot of the games because there's always one loud parent. There's always one edgy coach. Mm-hmm. There's all it takes is one person. As a matter of fact, I was just visiting a friend's little kids game the other day. These kids were young. I mean, I think they were 5 or 6. They were playing over by my house. And so we walked over to watch them play. Just a little kids baseball game.
Yep.
There was a guy on the other team who was super coach dad guy. And it was a thing. It was a thing with everybody that was watching this. It wasn't a thing with the kids. Like, they don't know. They're out there picking their butts, you know.
Yeah.
But with all the parents, everybody's paying attention, it kind of created like this, you know, everybody's whispering. And everybody's like, what's this guy's deal? And, well, if he does this, then I'm going to, you know
yep.
what I mean?
Yep. You start planning your next move.
There's this edge to these games that really should not be there.
Yeah.
But there's always somebody that brings it to the table. So I just... And not to say that will instantly escalate into fisticuffs like this. It's just that I feel like there are more people out there that would get into it. They just don't have this perspective that would get into it at a youth sporting event.
Well, there's some interesting research that I came across. It was done in like a little one of those video essay pieces that somebody put together. But a guy talking about how it may be better not to go to your kids' games.
Oh.
And not miss them all. And if they play for a championship or something, go. And you don't need to be at all 17 little league games that your kid plays and have that same sort of intensity. If the sport truly is for the kid,
yeah,
let them go.
What was that? Who did that?
It's a guy named Daniel Pink. And you can look it up, but it's not very long. It's like maybe a 5-minute video. But he's talking about how if you want your kid to really put their arms around the sport. Like a lot of parents go because they want their kid to love what they love, right? I love baseball. I want my kid to love baseball. I want to take my kid to go and play. So what he says is if you want your kid really to love it, let them go, have it be their own thing, mm-hmm. come back and tell you about it. Mm. Because then they're living it twice, right? They have a good game and then they get to tell you about their great hit. And they can't wait to get home. And that excitement of having a big moment in a sporting game lasts longer because I can't wait till they'll tell daddy. So exciting. And the other thing he suggests is if you want to be a good role model and you want your kids to love sports, drop them off for their game and go play your own game. Whatever you like. If you prefer golf or you whatever, and then you can finish up and you can exchange stories. And if you want your kids really to be active, there's a lot of different ways that you can do it besides just being there and making them agonize over what you're going to yell while they're standing at bat. Like, no kid wants you to coach him while you're hitting in a little league game. Get your elbow up, kid. Come on. Keep your eye on the ball. And it's like, oh, God, now I have to get a hit because my dad won't shut up. And I think there's a lot of truth to
that. The first part of what Mr. Pink said, I buy into that. I feel like when I was going through it with my kid, I did not feel the need to be at every single game.
Yeah.
My wife did. My wife was like, man, we are going to be there and we are going to support him. And it's going to be, and I was always just like, you know, that's great. I mean, I would rather it be that way than the other way. Like, I don't want to go to, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
But there is a balance to that because I just remember as a kid, I didn't need my parents there every time I played. Yeah. I really didn't, and I don't. And I think that he's onto something with that. I think we feel like we have to be there. We feel like we have to be supportive.
Well, what if you miss something?
What if we miss something? Or what? I got to support them.
Yep.
I think that's an interesting line of thinking that he's got there. I would say that. But by the way, nobody's going to do that.
Like, everybody's going to go. Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. And people are already killing me on the text.
Isn't there a middle ground, though, where you can still go
yes,
and just watch the game and be
Well, a
support
lot of
him
people,
and drive him home and talk to him about the game afterwards. And
a lot of people do that. I mean, we gotta remember here that not everybody is crazy youth dad or mom. It's just, I mean, most people go set up their chairs, talk amongst themselves, support the kids, and go home.
Well, and it's a good way to get to know your friends' parents, your kids' parents, the parents of your kids' friends, and all of that. You build a little social dynamic around it. I get all that. But I guess the other thing is you compare
But
sports.
All it takes is one. See, this is the problem. Yeah. All it takes is one freako to incite all the others who are pretty normal, but they feel the need to chirp back or intervene or de-escalate or whatever. I mean, it's just like nobody can just sit on the sideline. It's just, this is what I'm saying about when my experience going to youth sports, it's just like, there's always something. There's always, it feels like there's just that tinge of edge to all of these and it's not created by the kids. I'll tell you that.
Well, in my experience playing youth sports, I don't think the kids even pay half of a lick of attention to what the parents are doing.
No.
You're playing the game. You don't need, I just remember playing Little League, and I don't have kids yet, so I don't have the other side. But playing Little League, my parents were there. Oh, hey, how you guys doing? I would not look at the parents the rest of the game until we were done, because you're just in the game.
So when I was a kid, little kid, I could hear my parents' voice very clearly. I played up until I was 9. And then my parents are like, oh, is you ready to get signed up for baseball? I'm like, I don't want to play. I took 3 years off from baseball. And then when I went back and played again when I was 12, and I played all through high school, I played baseball, football, and basketball in high school. And I never noticed them. I was able to put those blinders on. But I can remember vividly as a kid going up to bat, and all I could hear was my parents' voices in my head. And I remember that vividly.
Right.
And so. And
what did that do to you?
Well, it made me quit baseball for 3 years. I didn't play any other sports. I took 3 years off from playing any organized sports. Huh. When I was 12, I got back into it, and I was able to go at it because I wanted to be there. It was my choice to be there, it felt like. And then I ended up playing in high school, and I was a very, very mediocre JV player for all three major sports. But, my kids aren't old enough yet, so that's part of the reason that this little video essay appealed to me is going, how do you take this? And the final thing that he mentioned in there is in the other kids' activities you put your kids into, whether it's a music class when they have one recital at the end, or a dance class, or you take them to sleepaway camp or something like that. In almost all of those other activities, you're giving your kids a certain amount of independence. But for some reason in sports, there's a codependency to it that doesn't exist in other things. So you end up just giving them a distorted view of what sports are. And this brings back to something that I heard during the U.S. Open commentary, which was right when Brooks Koepka teed off, he goes and gives his dad a hug. And somebody had done an interview with Bob Koepka and asked him, hey, when did you know that Brooks had that belief in himself to be a major champion? And he looked back at him and goes, well, I guess I still don't really believe it.
I whipped him for the 500th time.
Well, no, but here's what he said. He goes, well, he never really won in high school. He never won that many youth tournaments. He wasn't a champion in college. He hasn't, what does he want, two tournaments outside
kind
of majors? Well, no, but that's the other thing is you have to realize with your kids is they don't need to win every championship to be great. And Brooks Koepka is a perfect example of that. But that was something that actually conjured that thought up in my head. It's just like, If they're going to be great at something, it's because they love it and they want to go out and do it. Not winning, a game because a 13-year-old kid makes a bad call isn't going to stop your kid from becoming, a professional athlete. And that's what parents need to get over, I think, more than anything. So.
Parenting is hard, man. And there just is no handbook. It's so complicated. There's so many things, so many layers. And youth sports is part of that. I would say that it is hard. I think it's not hard for me to sit on the sidelines and shut up, right? Yeah. That is not hard for me. It's not hard for me to laugh when two coaches get heated or like, I mean, I remember in high school, one of Tristan's coaches got kicked out of the game and was, all over the umpire. And I was just like, really, dude? Like, so it's not hard for me to separate myself from the game, from that element of the game. What I do think is hard for parents, because I had kind of had a little bit of this, is it is hard not to kind of ask your kid, like, what were you thinking? Like, you want to shake them sometimes, like if they make a bad play or you don't feel like they're paying attention.
Yeah,
or
you're not engaged with the game.
You do kind of sit over there and go, you kind of want, if you have any competitive bone in you at all, you really want them to do well. And I think that part of it is a lot tougher for parents. Like you were talking about the ride home. The last thing you want to do when your kid gets in the car on the ride home is start questioning them about, you know,
third inning.
Yeah, you know, that hey, ball what right were over you thinking?
You can get to that. You've done it in practice.
Right. Okay. It's not the way to go about it, but that's a very hard thing to suppress. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, I think that element of it is much more common with parents than, say, getting in a fight at a youth game. But hey, there are some really good texts on this. Can we read a few of them when we get back?
Yeah, I've got two umpire stories I need to share from my youth as well. So we'll do those and we'll get some more text here in just a second. We'll do that next right here on Primetime. It's 1080 The Fan.
Primetime with Isaac and Suk on 1080 The Fan.
Welcome back to Primetime. Luke Anderson filling in while Suk is on vacation. He'll be back next week. Monday and Tuesday, we'll be out at Langdon Farms.
That's right. That snuck up on us, isn't it?
It really did.
So Big Suk and I will be out there with our show Monday and Tuesday at Langdon Farms. I heard that Jason Quick, I was talking to him today from our Blazers insider.
The Athletic, yeah.
He's going to be playing in it. Oh, so fantastic. Celebrities abound.
Ooh, boy.
Out there.
Yeah, watch out for that. So, yeah, if I think there might be a couple foursomes left on the Monday morning round. So if you want to go to 1080thefan.com, we had to add another round. So however many
years. We have three now?
Yeah, there's three listener rounds.
That's amazing.
That you can play in. Yeah, well, and that's because of the listeners. I mean, anybody that's been there. Yeah.
Well, it's probably because of me, but.
That's probably more likely.
I was talking to Quick today. I said, who are you playing with? He said, well, I'm playing with a bunch of bros that I don't know, but it was a friend of a friend who couldn't play. And so then he's filling in and he said, oh, these guys just rave about this tournament. They're like, they look forward to it. It's the one time a year they all get together and they really love it. It's like, that's kind of what it's become for a lot of guys, which is really cool to see.
Yeah. I started getting texts asking when it was going on sale. When is it going on sale? I need to get my ticket.
I got friends that get mad at me when I don't give them a heads up
that
it's going on sale. I'm like, man, I don't know. I don't handle that.
They just put me out there. What am I supposed to do? This told me when to go out there. And then I sit out there and talk, you know, yeah. But what am I supposed to do?
Okay, what percentage of adults are capable of fisticuffs at a youth sporting event? I was asking this question. A lot of people have weighed in. This is always a hot topic. But I've scrolled through as many as I can here, and I think that most reasonable people are saying if we have to settle on one number, we're settling on 10%.
I think you're right. One out of 10. One out of 10 baseball dads or football moms.
And those guys are out there, and they're just idiots, right? Mm-hmm. Like, if you're capable of that, you're an idiot. But they don't know. Like, for example, some guy says, hey, 10%, I have zero faith in humanity. Too many dads living out their unrealized sports dreams through their kids. That's part of it. Another one says 10 to 20% reffed YMCA basketball in college. And I will tell you that girls' parents and fifth grade boys were the worst of all of them.
Well, I think you got into something that was a big part of this, too, is how many of those 10 guys, they might not be the ones that start the fight. Like, they're not looking to it, but just they have such abrasive personalities and the way they get everybody else around them on edge. You know, like the really, they have no self-awareness. It's just out there yelling at his kid or the entire team or whatever it is. And it just gets under everybody's skin. And then all of a sudden, everybody gets that, you know, fight or fight response going, man, if this guy does something, I'm going to know. If he yells at his kid
like
one
I
more
said,
time.
That's what I was talking about. Like,
that's what I mean. Like,
there is an edge at these games.
But that guy can change that number. Yes. In the entire rest of the crowd. And that's, I think, a big part of it that's overlooked.
Well, I think that's what we're saying. It's like all it takes is one, and then all of a sudden you got this guy over here who's really not like that. But, hey, you know,
You say that about my kid one more time.
Yeah, exactly.
Get that number 12 out of there. He's weak. And then they start yelling at your kid, and all of a sudden you're like, hey, buddy, you need to calm down. It's like, well, if your kid was better, you know, and they're waiting for, you know, Johnny to get off the bench because his kid's suspended for being late for practice or whatever.
Here's one that says the percentage equals that of the white trash population of that city. You know.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't disagree.
It's not entirely wrong.
Maybe he wasn't a parent. Maybe he was a scout or likes to fight guy. Oh, well, yeah. Well, no, if you haven't seen the video, we're talking about this one in Colorado. It's outside of Denver. And Lakewood, I think.
Yeah, Lakewood versus Bear Creek. Seven-year-old baseball with a 13-year-old umpire makes a bad call, and it starts a melee.
How many people you think threw a punch in that? At least seven, eight.
Probably.
I mean,
yeah,
there's a lot of people, including women.
I thought it was 10, but yeah, there. I mean, there's quite a few people.
So it's
in
not
there.
Just
the
this,
other thing is
one of the women looked like she drop kicked somebody.
Dude, totally. She goes Jimmy Fly Snuka.
Well, there's one guy that gets knocked out. And it's a blindside sucker punch, and the guy just catches him flush. And there's at the end of the video that I saw, there's somebody holding this guy's head up in his hand.
Yeah.
Like he's knocked out.
Yep.
And they're looking for the guy that threw that punch now, and he'll probably end up having assault charges. Everybody else has been cited for, you know, unorderly conduct or, you know, fighting in public, but that'll be the big charge, and that's the guy that they're looking for.
Only way to start fixing these little league brawls is shame, deep shame, arrest, prosecution, public shame. Another one says, I think it's a low percentage of instigators. This goes along with what you were saying.
Yeah.
Maybe 5%, but the number who would participate in the fight is closer to 25%.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. Because if somebody – I've just been the guy in my life a couple of times where I was running towards a fight, not away from it. Not necessarily to get in there to throw punches. One time I was in a manager role. I was working at a hotel. And somebody's like, people are running away from the bar in the hotel because there's a fight. And I find myself running towards it. Like, I'm the guy that's going to break it up. But, like, my flight or fight response tends to go towards fight. And I don't know what it is in me. But I feel like if there's a bunch of seven-year-olds out there and people start going and throwing punches, I guess I wouldn't want anybody to get hurt. But at the same time, that means you're protecting yourself and maybe end up throwing punches. So I don't know what I would do in a situation like that. But
well, we have some very, very good text messages from people. This is always a hot topic, and it's always a topic that most people can relate to because you know, we have kids. But it's just not easy out there. I would just say always try to keep a level head and some perspective,
yep.
Even though you may be mad. Just don't be that guy.
Yeah.
Okay? Don't be that guy.
No question. No question. We need to get to in the news, but I did pull that clip, and maybe we'll pull it up in the third hour, but or maybe even tomorrow. But we've got that clip, the don't go to your kids' games. The one
oh,
that I was
you
telling
pulled
you about.
It.
I pulled it up. It's 3 minutes and 41 seconds. I may have Mike pull it, so we'll take a look at that in the break and see if that's something. We may share it later today, maybe tomorrow, but I'll have you look at it and see what you think. But we need to get to in the news, so we'll do that next, right after Mike brings you this SportsCenter update.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
Welcome back to Prime Time. I'm Luke Anderson. I'm filling in while Souk is away. Do one more show with Mr. Rob tomorrow. I don't know if you know this. Did you know that tomorrow is the NBA draft?
Really?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, do it every year around this time.
What? Who are the Blazers going to get?
They're going to take Bol Bol.
I don't know.
Oh, God.
And he's going to put on about 40 pounds of muscle over the summer. He's going to start just running like a deer, and he'll be Rookie of the Year and MVP and MVP of the Finals.
And okay. Then tear his ACL and never play again.
But they have that one championship. Would you take a Bill Walton repeat where
yes,
he brings you one
course.
Championship, gets hurt, and go, well, yeah.
Not even close.
That's what I'm saying. Okay, no problem. Come on, let's do it.
Bol Bol is Bill Walton. Well, you heard it here first.
Yeah, I don't know about that. Just let your imagination run wild.
Hey, you never know. He's a pretty exciting prospect.
Yeah, well, I don't know. I think it'll be interesting to see if they go after somebody that is, you know, just all upside, but a big risk.
Well, just remember,
that always gets people's imaginations going crazy.
If you're a Blazer fan, tomorrow is the draft. Remember that Neil Olshey has called this the worst draft in 20 years, and the Blazers pick 25th.
He's setting your expectations.
So. Yeah, that's part of what he was doing.
Oh, yeah, he's definitely.
He's good at that.
He's priming the Blazers fans for disappointment.
You're not going to like this guy.
Just so you know, I'm telling you weeks in advance, it's going to be terrible. You're going to hate who I pick, but here he is with the 25th overall selection, the Blue Boy Blazers stick. But right now, it is time for In the News.
June 19th, 2019, In the News. It is June 19th.
Sorry, what?
I butchered that.
That was great.
It's Juneteenth.
Sure.
Have you heard of Juneteenth? Yep. Commemorating the end of slavery in the United States.
Really?
Juneteenth, yes.
Huh.
And that is what today is, so celebrate that.
Yeah.
Also, National Martini Day. for you guys.
You can
like
celebrate the end of slavery with a martini. Yeah, works for me.
If you like martinis, it is your day. We have Poopy Phil out at Cannon Beach, it seems. This always fascinates me. But there has been a health advisory.
Ooh.
At
they got
Cannon
a
Beach.
Red tide.
They've lifted. They've since lifted it.
Okay.
But this was late yesterday and into today. The Oregon Health Authority had a public health advisory after fecal matter was detected in ocean water at Cannon Beach. Now, I don't know how much fecal. Like, the ocean's pretty big.
Yeah, it's large.
You know.
Yep.
So how much fecal matter do they need to like test for in order for them to issue a health advisory? You know
I want
I mean?
It to be a very small amount. Because usually when they had...
Even a small amount, they're like, hey, watch out, there's a turd.
Well, yeah, but what they do is with a health advisory, I think that the baseline for it is, will this harm people with low immune systems, the elderly, the young, or the sickly? And if
look at you coming in with...
This is just my guess, but that's where I hope they said it. If you go out there with a perfectly functioning immune system and you get sick from it, then that's too late. You should have already issued the warning. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, if it's going to take out the public.
Now, how does this happen that you've got a bunch of poo-poo at Cannon Beach, but all the other beaches are fine close by? Like, that, I don't understand. What's going on?
The ocean, like you said, is large, and the currents can contain, you know, certain elements to a certain area.
So what's that? What's it from, then?
I'm guessing it's probably a sewage spill from either storm overflow or, you know, somebody left the door open too long on the poop cleanery.
Hey, just know that if you're at Cannon Beach at all today or in the next couple of days or the weekend, the water no longer poses a higher than normal risk. So your risk is still normal of getting poop in your eye.
You get the normal risk. You ever jump in the ocean at Cannon Beach?
I've stuck my feetsies in.
Yeah.
You know, I don't go full tilt. No. I rarely go full tilt into the open ocean.
It is quite cold.
Yeah.
Indeed it is. How about this story of the kids coming out of the sewers downtown Portland?
Well, that sounds like fun. I'm all in. I did not.
Yeah, it does kind of sound fun, doesn't it? The little kid in you comes out. It's like, oh.
The little kid in me also jumped in the ocean at Cannon Beach, poop or not. I was like, bring it on.
Right.
Yeah,
so. You're a risk taker. You're crazy.
I was a
dumb kid. You would not wash apples.
Oh,
you
don't.
Would not
wash
for
the kids, and then I'll leave mine unwashed just because.
You wouldn't hold on to the rail of the escalator. You're crazy.
Oh, no.
Now, they call them sewer people, but really they're just kids being kids. But it does seem like kind of, I don't know, like Goonies type behavior. You know, just kind of kids running around in the summer. Well, I guess there's a hardware store over? Let's see what this says. Chown Hardware, Northwest Front Street, and they have a warehouse over there. And it's near the rail yard. On June 2nd and June 13th, their cameras captured kids coming out of the sewers, the manhole. They popped the manhole, and this bunch of kids pop out.
How many kids?
Like
there was
teens.
There were like eight of them.
Yeah, there was awesome. Like eight of them. It was like a clown car.
How many kids could they fit in that sewer?
Yeah, one of the videos shows three people. The other shows five. And one even waves at passing cars as they drive by. But they seem to think that this is quite dangerous, which it probably is, but good grief. It just looks like it's just a bunch of kids goofing off.
Well, yeah, but if they're issuing warnings about the water at Cannon Beach.
Yeah, where are they getting in? I mean, there's a lot of questions here. Yeah. Like, what are they doing down there?
Never know what they're
doing
down there.
What are they not doing down there?
What are they not exactly?
Yeah, huh?
Where are they getting in?
Mike's expression.
You know.
I was picturing all the things that they would not be doing.
Yeah.
In a sewer.
Tell you what.
Well, and they say, like, well, I saw an interview with the guy who's like, well, you know.
900 showers wouldn't clean that off.
Sewer pipes have low oxygen levels, you know, and harmful bacteria. And
the sewers are sewers.
You know, it's also, yeah.
Right. Okay.
You know, it's also dangerous.
The weather outside is weather.
Yeah, exactly.
Climbing trees. We used to climb trees. Yep. Remember the kid that would go, he would go uncomfortably high.
Yeah, that was me.
Was that?
Yeah,
that's
totally
was
me.
You.
That's totally me.
Like, I mean, there's just danger to being a kid.
Yeah.
I don't know. This feels to me like nothing, but they're really making a big deal out of it, and they gotta put more safety parameters around the manhole covers and this
good.
And that.
Good.
So whatever.
Good.
I mean,
keep
I guess,
the kids out of the sewers. I've been on
the
this.
Kids.
I've been on this platform for a long time. There's the sewer is no place for kids.
Well, perhaps they are maybe in cahoots with these sewer cougars or the sewer animals and the animal uprising. You know, there could be something there I think they should explore. But to me, this is just harmless fun. Well, but I would like to see the interviews with the kids to know what the hell they were doing.
One of my friends went with a group of people in high school to a viaduct that was abandoned. Because they had all these ghost stories around it. So they went through this thing where they were going to all these haunted places in New Jersey. And inside the viaduct, it was literally just metal ladders that you had to climb up and then traverse the inside of it. And at the very end, there was a bunch of rocks. He fell in, or maybe it wasn't him. One of his friends fell and lost part of their ear.
Ah!
Like it got sliced off on a rock. And they were way out, like 50 minutes away from home, which in New Jersey is far, not here. And
which is nothing for Portland.
Right. Yeah. But from where we grew up, it was like, oh my God, you're really far from home. And yeah, that's because they were in the middle of the night going through some supposedly haunted viaduct.
Did they pick up his ear?
We used to go.
Yeah, they got it, like, they brought it to the hospital and they got it.
Put it in a bag and.
Yeah.
Here's his ear. Can you put it back on? Yeah, we used to climb around underneath the Red Lion in Vancouver, right by the I-5 bridge. It's on stilts hanging over the river, and you can access, get underneath, and climb around down there. We used to do that when we were kids, and I'm sure we weren't supposed to be there. But whatever.
There was also a place called the Gates of Hell, which was sewers. And there was an entrance that had all this graffiti and satanic stuff on it that people will all go into all the time.
Well, see, that's what I'm saying. Like, there is, as a kid, I can see why they would want to, like, maybe explore around down there, even though to us it's like, gross, sewers, you know, anything can happen. But, you know, you got the movie It. You got, there is a fascination to, you know,
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Seeing what's going on down there.
Man.
You know?
Yeah.
Maybe you run into a body or something.
Ooh. And then you get Stand By Me and they make a movie about you.
Right.
Awesome.
So anyway, that happened, and everybody's seemed to be up in arms about it. This the noted newsman doesn't bother me.
Okay. I just loved the video all of a sudden of just the manhole opening and just these kids popping out.
And by the way, they look well dressed. Like they don't look dirty or anything. It looks like they were just down there.
Yeah, they're not like homeless people. They're just teenagers.
They're not sewer people. They're people in the sewer.
Yeah,
big difference.
Hey, false alarm! I have a follow up. To a big news story about Agent Orange found at Wallowa Lake.
Okay.
False alarm. No Agent Orange in Wallowa Lake.
Okay.
Mislabeled Agent Orange.
I will have that for you next.
Perfect. You're listening to Primetime right here on Portland Sports Leader 1080 The Fan.
Rocket to the door.
Primetime with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
That is a fantastic drop.
That made me smile.
I must say.
Yeah.
That was me yesterday because I love that Judas Priest ad that we run.
Well, they've actually replaced it with you redoing the Judas Priest ad. I don't know if you've heard that today, but they just cut it all out and
put
said
me
you
in there?
Recreating it.
I'll sell them more tickets.
Yeah, that's what exactly what they thought. So.
Hey, Barrels.
Rock to the door.
Did you get my other one? My other fine work from yesterday?
In terms of Judas Priest?
Yeah.
No, I just I clipped the one.
No, you should get my other one. My other one was even better.
I mean, it was
I
just
thought this
so
one was
good.
The best one. That's why I grabbed it.
Okay.
I'm still living in that moment from yesterday. I've been on a high for like
big
24 hours. Man.
Hey, if you missed it, it's big.
It's available on podcast, 1080thefan.com, brought to you by Les Schwab Tire.
Yeah, I got a tweet from somebody today that said, hey, I don't live in the area, so I can't listen to you anymore. And I just want to pull my hair out. I'm like,
it's 2019.
Yeah. You can listen to us from anywhere in the world.
Radio.com.
You can listen to us from space, bro.
Yeah, all you need is cellular or Wi-Fi connectivity. Just go on to radio.com.
Like, seriously.
Make 1080 The Fan your favorite station.
What world does this guy live in that he doesn't think that he can hear us because he doesn't live in Portland?
I don't want to insult this person, but I can because he's not listening.
I don't want to either. Yeah, but he doesn't live here, so he can't listen.
Yeah, we can't listen. But I was talking to my mom, and I was like, oh, I forgot to tell you that I was filling in on the show. And she's like, oh, I'll download the podcast and listen tomorrow. I didn't even have to suggest it to my mother, who is, she gets it, and you don't.
Yeah,
that's just,
and she's
that's,
90.
Well, not that old.
Barrels found in Wallowa Lake did not contain Agent Orange.
Oh, well, that's better.
Okay. Now, this is from the EPA. It is. Yes, this is better.
Yeah. Well, it maybe. Could it be something worse?
Well, they found 74 drums. We told you about this last week. They found 74 drums at the bottom of Wallowa Lake, but only one of them was labeled with the herbicide, the Agent Orange. And so they opened them up, and they were all full of lake water.
Oh.
False alarm, bros.
Well, there you go.
Yeah. So if you're suing over that, you should withdraw your lawsuit.
Okay. I will get right on that.
I don't know why I said that.
So is lake water poisonous?
No.
Okay.
Well, that's where they get their drinking water. But.
Yeah. No. I heard the story, and it's a very good turn of events.
All 74 drums had holes in them.
Oh, okay.
And so whatever was in them. So basically, all the Agent Orange has
it's already
out.
Been in the
yeah,
lake.
And everybody that's yeah.
It's already been. It's already.
So we're fine now.
It's already killed all those people.
Yeah.
Okay.
Horrible.
Well, that is good news. Do we have any idea why the barrels were down there?
No, they don't know, but they think that they used to throw that on the forests at times back in the 70s, and they think that it's left over from that.
You just toss the barrels in the lake when you're done?
Yeah. Like,
you're done with that barrel of poison? Yeah, chuck it in the lake. So, up in Lake Washington, they have a bunch of World War II planes that are sunk.
Yeah. Paul Allen wasn't Paul Allen big on that, like searching for...
Yeah. Yeah, and I guess that's
I've seen that.
Pretty cool place to go and inspect.
Yeah,
the
there's like all kinds of stuff down there.
Yeah, it's wild. It's just like, oh yeah, put it up by Seattle. That'll be fine.
All right. Love it. We have a new, it's a word, phrase for stranger danger.
What's wrong with stranger danger?
Well, stranger danger has quite a ring to it.
It does. It rhymes and everything.
And look, stranger danger, while some may, like, it's kind of an eye roll for some people. The kids at some point got to learn, you know, you can't trust everyone. You know, it's not that all strangers. I don't like the idea. Let's put it this way. I don't like the idea of teaching my kid that you should look skeptically at every human being.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I don't like that.
But look for danger in strangers.
But
and that's like common sense.
You need your spidey senses up, you know.
Put up the antenna.
So stranger danger, I don't know, they're changing it. And you know what the new sort of phrase is for kids? Do you have any guesses?
Does it rhyme?
No.
Well, that ruins all my guesses.
No, it doesn't.
All right, bummer.
Tricky people is what they want to go with.
What?
Tricky people.
Like yes. Run DMC?
Tricky.
No.
Tricky
anybody?
People.
Anybody? No? Yeah, I lost Mike on that one. Tricky people. That's
tricky
terrible.
People.
Many agencies and organizations are moving away from stranger danger as a phrase because statistics show children are far more likely to be abused or kidnapped
by people
someone
they know
or is known to the family. So child advocates also point out that not all strangers are bad. Thank you.
Yes, but not
I've
all.
I've been saying this for years.
And not all people you know are good.
And right. And
yikes.
Sometimes
but that makes it worse.
Sometimes strangers can help in an emergency. So the new phrase is called tricky people. The phrase refers to those who appear friendly and charming and then trick kids into trusting them.
Yeah, but
like your drunk uncle.
Doesn't that seem more suspicious though? It's like watch out for people that are being nice to you because they could just be tricky people and they're probably going to murder you and throw you in a duffel bag.
Yeah, I don't like it either.
I also don't. Yeah, it doesn't have a good enough ring.
No.
No, it doesn't make any sense.
No.
Yeah,
it just shifts the fear.
Exactly.
You're instilling fear.
Yeah.
In which a healthy amount of fear is okay.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you don't want to be overly fearful. I don't want to make my kids overly fearful.
Yeah.
That's my big thing about this. And I don't know how, but I don't have the answer of how to also keep them aware enough.
How
first they're getting rid of Smokey Bear.
Without
and,
the fear.
And now
they're getting rid
danger.
Of Smokey Bear?
Yeah, we talked about this the other week.
Smokey Bear and I were buddies when
now
I used to work out at Skamania Lodge.
Now
me and Smokey Bear hung out all the time.
Bigfoot or something, right? You said
yeah,
the
they're
Oregon
going with, they're going with Bigfoot.
Yeah? What's
his
name?
For the new campaign. Well, his name's Bigfoot.
His name's Bigfoot.
It's Smokey Bigfoot. It's just Bigfoot. Ah,
yeah, it's the new campaign to, what was the campaign for?
Forest
to
fires.
Prevent forest fires.
Yeah. Only you can prevent forest
yeah,
fires.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah,
well,
that'll
be gone now, yeah. Right? Because that's not Smokey.
Well, just in Oregon, yeah.
Yeah. How about this for a new phrase for kids with stranger danger? Just don't get in the van. Does that work?
If it's a van, run.
Yeah.
If it's a sedan,
run.
See what kind of candy it is, and then run.
Yeah. What kind of video games does he have in his cabin in the woods? Wait, what?
That's terrible.
What?
Of you to say.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what the best... Because we did tell... We were talking about this story in Aloha the other day.
What
where,
year is that RV around the corner from your house?
Yeah, 2012 and north, you're probably okay. Blue tarp, red flag.
That's good.
Red
Blue
flag.
Tarp, red flag.
Yeah.
I like that.
was I saying? Oh, in Aloha,
yeah.
They were having that family barbecue, and the little three-year-old boy was being led off by the stranger danger guy.
Yeah. You mean the tricky people person.
The tricky people person. And the mom just happened to call the kid's name, and then the guy just let the kid go, and the kid ran back to the fam. Like, that's pretty... Like, how do you prevent that? Like, that's a tough one, because it's like...
Yeah.
Because you don't think... Like, I just don't think that stuff happens a lot, and yeah. I don't fear that kind of thing. You certainly have your eyes open for it, mm-hmm. and you're paying attention, and you're aware, but... You know, when it does happen, then you're like, well, damn it. That guy just literally walked up to our barbecue and tried to walk off with the yeah. kid. That's freaky, man.
The thing my parents always told me growing up was, if it is someone you don't know, do not talk to them. Do not follow them. Stay where you are.
Yeah.
And that was as simple as that. And
yeah, but
I never did.
That falls into stranger danger.
You can talk to strangers. I mean,
yeah,
many of them are probably quite pleasant.
Well, absolutely. And more than happy to help, you know, a child who's being chased by sewer people.
Yeah, hey, you got any candy, stranger? Hey, stranger guy, why don't you do something for me? You got any Jolly Ranchers?
Hey, mister, got any candy?
Hey, mister. Oh, well, yeah, like kids start shaming adults. And
ooh, piece of candy.
All right. Well, anyway, tricky people is the new phrase, so no more stranger danger.
I don't like it.
I don't either. As a matter of fact, it's horrible.
Yeah. But, I'm at a blue tarp red flag. That's how you identify a dangerous RV. I think that works.
Or an Amazon delivery guy.
That's probably true, too. All right, there's your In the News. Next, we're going to do the Hot 5 of 5. We'll bring you the biggest sports stories mm-hmm. of the day in the Hot 5 of 5. We do it next, right here on Primetime. This is 1080 The Fan.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.